This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.
Conversation 5. Attention to detail. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing it right. English proverb.
Do you know the saying, the devil's in the detail? A colleague used to say, the devil's not in the detail, but in the little crack behind it.
Nice. I also know the same saying, but turned around. God is in the detail. More positive, so to speak.
So it makes sense that we concentrate on details.
Yes. Attention to detail used to be drilled into me.
We learned this at an early age in school. Every spelling mistake is corrected and every detail is noted. There's a lot of attention to detail.
Oh yeah, that was annoying. I remember a math test I took. My teacher gave me a D or an F for the class test because there was a sign error at one point in the whole calculation. He gave the entire assignment a 0 score. I found that quite unfair at the time. He said to me, well, the bridge would have collapsed. Everyone would be dead.
I also know this from my physics studies. The I is the imaginary unit. It happens very quickly to place an I or a negative I in a wrong place. 1:I = -I. It then becomes very confusing. We've already talked about personality types and different color energies. My first thought was that the only types that are particularly detail-oriented are those with blue color energy. So I would immediately have a suitable excuse for why I sometimes don't want to deal with details. In fact, I love to deal with details, just not with every single one.
That's fine. To people with a lot of blue energy, correctness is very important, with or without details. Maybe you prefer to deal with the details that you enjoy, right?
Definitely. If I enjoy something and I see sense in it, then I'm also very detail-oriented. That happens often, just not in general and not in every detail.
For you, it's certainly about competence versus preference. I think you've learned to work in a detail-oriented manner. In your studies, you were certainly very analytical and very precise. You wrote software.
Later, built up the accounting department.
You see? Accuracy and detail are important here, too. What's most important to you is having fun and doing things with other people, having joy and being creative. In the insights model, which of course is just a model, these are opposite energies. At first glance, it's clear that the blue energy is suspected of being responsible for details. To some extent, this also fits, at least when it comes to analytics, because it's important to get to the bottom of things. In fact, however, what's more indicative of detail orientation and preferences is a third axis. It lies between intuition on the one side and sensory analysis on the other. People who have a sensory preference tend to be more in the here and now and very much focused on the 5 sensory channels. They perceive all the details that are happening at that very moment. Everything they see, hear, feel, taste, and smell. People with an intuitive preference also have these perceptions, yet are not 100% focused on them at every instant. Rather, their mind interprets what meaning this might have for the future. Who is now more interested in detail, the sensory analyst or the intuitive? Opinions differ on this. For example, I am a very intuitive person. My thoughts quickly revolve around what this and that means for the future, what could happen tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, and so on. I find it rather difficult to be in the here and now and pay attention to details. Delivering 100% accurate results costs me a lot of energy.
I hear many beliefs from you. The danger of such a model is that it can produce many beliefs in your head, such as, details aren't my thing. I have trouble with them. At the same time, we talked about the motto, fake it till you make it. So I can just pretend that I'm detail-oriented and that detailed tasks like mathematical equations or accounting are absolutely my thing, until I am. I sit down and do it until I learn to pay attention to the details, so I can turn preference into competence. At some point, it feels easy. The insights model is suitable for an initial classification, and above all for an understanding about my preferences. At the same time, caution is required, because I can run the risk of adding new limiting beliefs.
As always, I can be the decider for everything. I decide who I want to be. Who I pretend to be, I will be. It may take me a while to get there. I can set out to become the most detail-oriented person I know. If I seriously do that, I will. I can decide on anything and make it happen. The length of the road to get there, how long it takes, and how hard it is for me compared to others is another question. I hear you say again, this too is a belief and your own decision.
Another proverb comes to my mind. As you do one thing, so you do all things. It means if I don't take care of the details in one place, I don't take care of the details in another.
Is that true, or is that also a belief?
It's a proverb.
I know of at least one exception. A good friend of mine is an absolute specialist in his field. He's absolutely brilliant in his subject, knows every detail, and is highly focused on making everything perfect. That applies to him only with regard to this special field. In all other disciplines, he's rather messy.
This is again a question of focus. Your good friend may have turned his preference for this topic into a competence and then, consciously or unconsciously, made the decision to focus only on this topic. All others seem not to be so important to him.
Yeah, it probably is. He's a virtuoso in his field. There's the term nerd, a genius who's absolutely outstanding in one field and fails in many other disciplines, even after 10,000 hours of practice. The term sounds rather negative. I read in a book that I have to spend 10,000 hours to master something really well. That's why I came up with 10,000 hours, so I can spend 10,000 hours on many things in my life to become really good at them.
I also read something exciting about it. Let's assume that I want to become a good pianist. Then I would need 10,000 hours, as you said. If, on the other hand, I only want to play a single piece on the piano, it goes much faster. So if my goal is clear to me, I can reach it faster. How do I recognize a good pianist? A good pianist plays everything. He sees the notes of a song and can play it. He knows his way around. He knows all the literature. If I only want to play the intro of Let It Be on the piano, I can learn to do it in a few days or weeks, from scratch. So the question is, what do I actually want to learn?
So playing a piece from the Rachmaninoff piano concerts will be pretty tough without the 10,000-hour time investment, I'd say.
We could give it a try.
Well, good luck. We'll meet in a few years.
Attention to detail. So we said details are important. What effect does this have in the company or for me as a boss?
Well, as the boss, it's my job to make sure that things are done properly, at least the ones that matter. I have another saying to go with it. If it is worth doing, it is worth doing right. If I invest my valuable time and energy in something, it's worth doing right. Otherwise, my precious time is wasted.
So, when I define what's done, I can also define how I know that these things have been done properly.
Just like defining a goal or a quality standard.
When I assign tasks, I don't just ask my employees to do them. For example, to take care of customer XY. But I define how I can tell that the employee has done a good job.
This inevitably brings us to the topics of KPIs, key performance indicators, and measured values. You get what you measure. Conversely, it would mean that what I don't measure, I don't get. If I want a good result, I have to measure it. Otherwise, I might not recognize the result at all. I've experienced this very strikingly in a call center. The service was officially considered bad. However, it was not clear why or how bad the service really was. It was more a feeling or an impression. So we first of all thought about what good service means to us at all. Does it mean that we answer the phone within 10 seconds or that the solution is perfect every time? Or does it mean that customers say that we are nice and friendly? Maybe it also means that our customers recommend us to others. What exactly is a really good service? It was only after we realized this and started to make these matters measurable that we realized how bad the service we delivered really was, at least according to our criteria. We first had to realize this. Then we could understand where we actually stood. Only then did we know that we wanted to improve in order to provide good service. It worked. After 1 year, we had implemented a world-class service, and the customers were delighted. If we hadn't thought about what good service actually is and what I can measure in order to spot a good result, we would have basically just gone round in circles.
Right. If you don't know where you stand, what makes a good result, and how to measure it, you're too forced to optimize many things at once without knowing if it makes sense.
That's exactly how it is. First, we did a little bit of tweaking here, then we tried something new there, initially setting up a new call routing. Then we introduced a new system. All these were certainly nice things to engage with. At the same time, a total blind flight. We had no concrete idea of what the success factors were and what these changes would achieve.
For example, if you've optimized for immediate problem solving and for a quick phone pickup, it also means that customers who prefer friendly service to quick service are not quite as satisfied with your service, right?
Absolutely. Another saying for the phrase pig. You can't please everybody. That's okay, too. I don't have to be liked by everyone. We have defined a service level of 80% as our goal. For us, a world-class level meant maintaining a service level of 80% in our business. That was a conscious decision. From 80% on, we are satisfied. In a market comparison, that was a very good result. Of course, there are always cases in which the 80% cannot be achieved. It's difficult when it comes to the service level of a famous German transport company, for example, which says, in 80% of all cases, we don't want to be more than 5 minutes late. That's rather unrealistic.
Attention to detail also helps here, because, of course, this has to be captured very precisely.
This also involves the question of the right goal. What is the goal I want to achieve, and how do I measure it? If my goal is not to be more than 5 minutes late, it's very likely that I will always be 5 minutes late in the future. That is what I have set for myself.
So I decide what's okay.
Yes.
Okay. Then I decide that it's okay that we are done now.
Awareness of what I am focusing on and whether or not I am distracted is a skill that will become even more important in the future. Technological progress is exponential and our world is becoming ever faster. Smartwatches vibrate directly on your wrist with every incoming email. I have to be able to balance between focus and accessibility autonomously and consciously. Otherwise, I will lose myself in wild actionism and become overwhelmed. When this happens, I can only helplessly watch how I run out of time, my most valuable resource.
This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.